In August, Parisians abandoned their city, leaving it to foreigners like writer David Sedaris. He's lived there for 2 years with his boyfriend Hugh. In the second installment of his series on life in Paris, Sedaris confronts the complexities of the French language.
There are, I have noticed, two basic types of French spoken by Americans vacationing in Paris, the hard kind and the easy kind. The hard kind involves the conjugation of wily verbs and the science of placing them alongside various other words in order to form such sentences as, I go him say good afternoon, and no, not to him I no go at him say now. The second, less complicated form of French amounts to screaming English at the top of your lungs, much the same way as you'd shout at a deaf person or the dog you thought you could train to stay off the sofa. Doubt and hesitation are completely unnecessary. The speaker carries no pocket dictionary and never suffers the humiliation that invariably comes with pointing to the menu and ordering the day of the week. With easy French, eating out involves a simple, bring me a steak. Having undertaken the study of hard French, I'll overhear such requests and glare across the dining room thinking, that's Mr. Steak to you, buddy. Of all the stumbling blocks inherent in learning this language, the greatest for me is the principle that each noun has a corresponding sex that affects both its articles and its adjectives. Because it is a female and lays eggs, a chicken is masculine. Vagina is masculine as well, while the word masculinity is feminine. Forced by grammar to take a stand one way or the other, hermaphrodite is male, and indecisiveness female. I spent months searching for some secret code before I realized that common sense has nothing to do with it. Hysteria, psychosis, torture, depression. I was told that if something is unpleasant, it's probably feminine. This encouraged me, but the theory was blown by such masculine nouns as murder, toothache, and rollerblade. I have no problem learning the words themselves. It's the sexes that trip me up and refuse to stick. What's the trick to remembering that a sandwich is masculine? What qualities does it share with anyone in possession of a penis? I'll tell myself that a sandwich is masculine because, if left alone for a week or two, it will eventually grow a beard. This works until it's time to order, and I decide that for one reason or another, a sandwich is undoubtedly feminine. I just can't manage to keep my story straight. Hoping I might learn through repetition, I tried using gender in my everyday English. Hi guys, I'd say, opening a new box of paper clips. Or, hey Hugh, have you seen my belt? I can't find her anywhere. I invented personalities for the objects on my dresser and set them up on blind dates. When things didn't work out with my wallet, my watch drove a wedge between my hairbrush and my lighter. The scenarios reminded me of my youth, when my sisters and I would enact epic dramas with our food. Ketchup-wigged French fries would march across our plates, engaging in brief affairs or heated disputes over carrot coins, while burly chicken legs guarded the perimeter, ready to jump in should things get out of hand. Sexes were assigned at our discretion and were subject to change from one night to the next. Unlike in France, where the corn cob and the string bean remain locked in their rigid masculine roles. Say what you like about Southern social structure, but at least in North Carolina, a hot dog is free to swing both ways. Nothing in France is free from sexual assignment. I was leafing through the dictionary when I noticed the French had prescribed genders for the various landmasses and natural wonders we Americans have always thought of as sexless. Niagara Falls is feminine, and against all reason, the Grand Canyon is masculine. New England is a she, while the vast area we call the Midwest is just one big guy. My confidence hit a new low when my friend Adeline told me that French children often make mistakes, but never with the sex of their nouns. "It's just something we grow up with," she said. "We hear the gender once, and then think of it as part of the word. There's nothing to it." Tired of embarrassing myself in front of 2-year-olds, I've started referring to everything in the plural, which can get expensive but has solved a lot of my problems. In saying a melon, you need to use the masculine article. Ask for 2 or 10 or 300 melons, and the number lets you off the hook by replacing the article altogether. A masculine kilo of feminine tomatoes presents a sexual problem easily solved by asking for 2 kilos of tomatoes. I've started using the plural while shopping, and Hugh has started using it in our cramped kitchen, where he stands huddled in the corner, shouting, "What do we need with 4 pounds of tomatoes?" I answer that I'm sure we can use them for something. The only hard part is finding somewhere to put them. They won't fit in the refrigerator as I filled the last remaining shelf with the 2 chickens I bought from the butcher the night before, forgetting that we were still working our way through a pair of pork roasts the size of Duraflame logs. Hugh tells me that the market is off limits until my French improves. He's pretty steamed, but I think he'll get over it when he sees the CD players I got him for his birthday.
The comments of David Sedaris are produced for Morning Edition by Mary Wiltenberg and Ira Glass. Sedaris' latest book is Me Talk Pretty One Day.